Welcome to Comic Culture here on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio. Now also podcast at comicbookdaily.com. I'm your co-host, Walter Duralia, joined finally, again,
yes,
by my illustrious co-host, Chris Owen, professor of comic book history at Hamilton's Mohawk College, and AWOL for the last 3.5 years, or 6 weeks, because he was stationed at the Olympics.
Yes, I was. First of all, it's great to be back. Thank you very
much,
Walter.
Great to have you back, Chris.
You know, I love doing this show, and I was away at the Olympics for 5 or so weeks.
Now, what did you compete in?
Drinking.
Yes!
I was part of the all-Canadian drinking team.
Good job.
No, I was there as a one of my many endeavors. I'm also a doping control officer. So I was there making sure that we're keeping the games clean, making sure that all the athletes are being tested on a regular basis for performance-enhancing substances.
Right.
That's what we call it in the industry.
I see. And just, you know, if we can be privy to any early kind of rumors, is anybody tested positive?
You know what? I have not heard of anybody being tested positive as of right now. I know that there were many, many individuals who were not allowed to attend the games because they were of fear of being tested positive once they arrived in Vancouver. So
really?
Some countries did not send their athletes. And I believe there's about 30 athletes in total that were not allowed to come to the games based on possibility of being tested positive.
Wow. Yeah. Now, listen, Chris, I know we got the show coming up.
Yep.
One more thing.
Yep.
I mean, everybody's done a wah-wah-wah a little bit after the games.
Yeah.
It was so euphoric, such a high, especially
absolutely,
the way it ended
yes.
with Team Canada.
Yes.
Was it like getting back to the real world here?
Where it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible.
Fair enough. That's fair.
I don't remember being quite so depressed in my life.
Wow.
But you know what?
Coming
back to the real world, it is tough. You know, you're at a... We can digress for half a second. You know, I was in Whistler Station the whole time, and you're at a place where you're full of mountains and great positive thinking people and all these athletic people and and it was all, you know, and I don't even want to say partying, but just good spirits. And for I was there for a whole month,
right?
And coming back to reality really blew. That's all I gotta
Woo!
Say. Yeah.
Well, listen, I mean, if anything can help pick you up,
yes,
it's comic culture.
You know what? It really is. It's comic books are always my mainstay because you know, it's a love of my life. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here.
Yep.
So it's good to be here. So let's get talking about comics.
I will, Chris. Let's,
right,
we'll start if you remember. We go into new releases because today being Wednesday.
If I remember.
Yeah.
It hasn't been that long.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, new comics are coming out today.
Right.
You know what? We're going to go over a few of them if
okay.
I printed them off. Yes,
okay.
I did. Yes,
okay.
I did, Chris. We'll start with Marvel like we always do.
Yes.
And check this out. Today they have a book called Breaking Into Comics, The Marvel Way, #1.
Oh, you know what's interesting about that is I'm sure you must remember years ago they came out with How to Draw Comics the Marvel Way.
Yes, I remember that.
Was Stan Lee and John Buscema
yes.
did a lot of the artwork on that.
Yes.
And that was but that was not so much of the writing. There was a lot of the artwork, how to ink, how to storytell, how to pencil,
yep.
how to develop
great.
Characters,
yeah.
that kind of thing. And it was a really great book, a big seller for many, many years. If nothing else, it also gave you the pages. It kind of gave you, you know, if you wanted to become an inker, well, it gave you pre-penciled stuff to learn how to
yes.
ink. And,
yes.
you know, it was a really great way of sort of figuring out if this is something you really want to do or
right.
not.
Right. Well, the editor and their talent manager, C.B. Cebulski.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yes. He apparently, this is already predetermined, I guess. What had happened is he had gone out, I guess, for a year's tour and found, I believe it was 12 or 16 very talented people to basically now, they're giving these guys a shot. So everybody gets
right.
a project to do and
cool.
stuff. And
cool.
if they do well and if they're received well by the public, they'll get some sort of contract.
What a great boon for those artists
yeah,
and
it is.
Creators, really.
But you know what, though? You know what, though? They also show you a step-by-step submission information and sample
right.
Marvel comic strips. Then it goes, the book is a must-have for anyone interested in doing their breakout work and breaking into the comic industry. And the problem I have with that, and Chris, you know, you've taught this
yes.
before, right? Is, you know, this is too ideal, too...
Yeah.
too If it wasn't a sales gimmick,
yeah, I know.
Would they
yeah,
be I doing it? Saying, yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, you know what? And the thing is, I know firsthand that Marvel and DC, for the most part, will not hire any talent if they have not already been with a previous company in some sort of capacity, right? Right?
Yes. Had some sort of previous success.
Yeah, they want you to already have been seasoned. Understandably so. If you look at any major corporation in the world, whether it be comics or accounting or mm-hmm. or whatever, generally they want to know that you know what you're doing. So
yeah, well, I guess bringing this out, it's almost like, oh, well, you know, look at
there's
you
can, a chance you can be now. A big yeah, Marvel. It's yeah.
Meanwhile, there isn't. This is it's not designed. I don't think it's designed around. Breaking into comics the Marvel way as it is designed around selling this comic that they've already kind of prefabricated.
But you know what? At the same point, this will be great for people who are interested in the Marvel genre,
yeah.
who want to be part of that Marvel mystique, and so they can learn how to pencil and or see what the whole Marvel era corporation is all about.
Yeah, you're right. I guess.
And eventually maybe they can use those skills and transfer them later on, even something if they don't get in so, right away.
So there will be information that they can use.
I'm sure there must okay. be, yes.
All right. Marvel also has out today, Chris, The Mystic Hands of Doctor Strange #1.
Well, you know, I did hear that this was coming out, believe it or not. I was on a web blog that said that this was coming out, and I think it's going to be really cool to see. You know, Doctor Strange is one of those characters that, you know, he's a popular character, but he's sort of just like, just second tier, you
yeah,
know,
just
like
below, right?
Just below.
Yeah.
Like he's popular. He was created in the 60s. Lots of great people have worked on him, but you know what? He just doesn't have that appeal. Although there was a Doctor Strange movie in the 70s.
Get out.
Yeah, there really was. I swear to God. There was a Doctor Strange movie.
Like made for TV or a theatrical?
It had to have been made for TV. It had to have been made for TV. And right. the guy kind of looked like Alex Trebek a little bit. You know, I'm just, yeah.
Okay. That's the classic Doctor Strange look, right? The mustache
that's right.
The dark hair.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, wow, okay. Well, you know, and like you said, though, fans of Strange, and I think Marvel is doing well with Strange in not keep coming out with a new ongoing series, but
right.
we're doing these cool miniseries
right.
and these cool arcs and stuff.
I
like
think
that.
There's some characters in the Marvel canon. That are really great characters, but really have a tough time having their own book for many years.
Right.
And I think Doctor Strange is one of them.
Okay.
You know, give him a bunch of short stories. Great idea.
Right. Okay. Let's flip over to DC.
Yes.
And check out. I always mention it, and it's worth mentioning. Batman and Robin, the latest issue #10 hits the stands.
You know,
today.
I'm hearing great things about it. You know, I was over at a buddy's house on the weekend, and one of the first things he says to me is, "Are you reading Batman and Robin?" And fortunately, I had been away for a month, and I haven't really been able to keep up on everything, and he was excited about it. He wanted to talk to me about it, and unfortunately, I couldn't talk to him
right.
about it because I had been away.
Right.
So, but apparently,
that month, I mean, how many issues came out since that month, Chris? Seven or eight issues?
Yeah, well, at least one, anyways. But I was busy,
okay.
You know, I got stuff to do.
Whatever. Listen, yeah,
maybe not even one, but anyways.
You are right. Always big news, massively popular. Grant Morrison, of course, was it Frank Quietly as well?
Yeah.
I think Quietly does the covers now, and it's a guy named Andy Clark.
That's right, yeah.
Does the art. But, yeah, so that's coming out today.
Cool.
Big news for DC fans and for Batman fans. Let's jump over to Dark Horse.
Yes.
And mention that BPRD, King of Fear #3 comes
cool.
out today. And it's written by Mignola.
Right.
Artist Guy Davis.
Right.
And... this BPRD thing is kind of turned out to be more popular than Hellboy almost.
Well, yeah, I mean, the whole BPRD thing is based on, it's sort of like the Paranormal Research and Investigation Department. It's sort of a branch of what Hellboy worked for in the Hellboy comic. But now there's other characters that are sort of doing the same thing that he does, but not Hellboy, right?
Right.
And
right.
so it's kind of cool to see all these different, like Abe Sapien.
I think it's great. Yeah,
yeah,
I think it's great that it worked for Dark Horse because it's not all Hellboy.
No, exactly. And the thing is, you know, they were brilliant enough to get great artists and great writers who fit that genre very well, like guys like Guy Davis, who was an artist on Sandman Mystery Theater for many years,
yes,
and he's
yes.
got a very cool sort of retro, hatchy, scratchy kind of look to him
mm-hmm.
that really fits with that BPRD
almost kind of
genre.
The way Mignola drew
I mean, Mignola had a lot of spot inks, they call it, you know, really heavy blacks, and Guy Davis has a lot of heavy charcoal.
The right angle lines on his characters and stuff. Yeah. You're right, Chris. All right, let's leave new releases there.
All right.
And we're going to jump in. Chris, I don't even know if we're going to have time to get to a topic today.
But okay.
We have so much industry news to cover.
Really?
You being away, I've pulled a couple of them.
Oh, okay. But, well, I appreciate that.
It was a busy news week to begin with.
All right. Well, let's jump right in.
We're going to start with, did you know that there's going to be a Smurfs movie?
Yeah. I honestly had no idea. Yeah. You know, hold on. Before, and this is completely tangential here.
Yes.
But did you know that, you know, when I was away at the Olympics, not that I'm trying to plug that or anything.
You bet some Smurfs?
We had this outfit that we were given by the Vancouver Olympic Organizing Committee.
I've seen them on TV.
And I had the light blue hat, the light blue
coat. Yeah, I know you're going to say
that.
Like
and we were all called the Smurfs. Every time. God. And you know what, with good reason, because like 20 of us would aboard a city public bus, and all of a sudden it was just like, you know, Smurf. You know, it's Smurf City,
right?
Yeah.
What was one of the, I don't even know the Smurfs. Was it Papa Smurf?
There's Papa Smurf and, you know, Geeky Smurf, and
right, that's you
know,
right?
Yeah, Geeky absolutely. Smurf? No, I was Dopey Smurf.
Dopey Smurf.
Yeah, because I was doping control. Yeah.
Oh, anyway. I thought it's because you were dopey.
Hey, yes.
No. Okay.
All right.
Stop.
Yes.
Yeah. So get Jonathan Winters.
Jonathan Winters.
Jonathan Winters.
The guy, like, from Mork and Mindy?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be CGI. It's going to be, I guess, like Who Framed Roger Rabbit, with CGI rather than cartoons. And it's going to be real-life action. Like,
okay.
The actor's name that's going to be the real-life portion of it is Neil Patrick Harris.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's Doogie Howser.
Doogie Howser.
Yeah, I like that guy.
Yeah. And the rest is going to be some voice add-ins by guys like Jonathan Winters and George Perez.
For the Smurf
Lopez,
thing.
Sorry, George Perez.
George
Perez, George. He's going to draw it all.
Oh, my God. I feel sorry for the guy.
George Lopez.
Yeah.
They're going to be the Smurf voices, I guess.
Is this a Smurf movie? Is it Smurf?
It's a Smurf movie.
Okay, and is it like...
it's going to be... combined real life and CGI.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I wonder who they're going to get to play Gargamel. He was the old man that always hated all the Smurfs and had his cat that
maybe
always...
that's Jonathan Winters.
Could be. Yeah. Could be. You never know.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay, staying on the movie front too, apparently Wolverine 2 script is done.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Christopher McQuarrie.
Okay.
Who wrote X-Men and Valkyrie.
Oh, really? Okay.
Turned in a script for the second Wolverine.
Well, Valkyrie is a great movie.
Yes. Yes. So that's the one with
Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise, the Hitler assassin.
Yeah.
Great movie.
And of course, okay, so the guy that wrote X-Men and the guy that wrote Valkyrie, both were movies produced or directed by Bryan Singer.
Yes. 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 Now, what they're going to apparently... now you probably remember this series too. Is I think they're going with the Claremont Miller 1982 Wolverine miniseries where he goes to Japan.
Oh yeah,
that's a classic.
Yeah, very good, very good.
So that's a good storyline if they can make it work.
Well, yeah, because you know what, that's the one where we kind of Wolverine for the most part, everybody loves him because he's kind of cool and he's got these rehabilitation kind of powers where you know he heals very quickly and he's got the claws coming out, but you know that. That particular storyline is where he actually meets his wife. I think it's Hariko, and he meets his wife, and he becomes like a samurai kind
like
of
a
guy.
Love story.
It's a love story. Yes. So there's there's something. You know, I'm not trying to turn off all those comic book fans out there by saying it's a love story, but it is a very good way of looking into the character and seeing kind of what makes him tick a little bit.
Right. Ooh, okay. Now, staying with movies, we're going to, in honor of the Oscars.
Yes, last night. Happened. Yeah.
No, it was Sunday night. It wasn't.
Oh, sorry. Right. Yeah, Sunday night. You're right. Sorry. I don't know. I was watching it in reruns.
Oh. George Lopez, again with George Lopez.
Really?
He's the guy, the Mexican guy that has the variety show.
And he
does that other comedy.
I think he has his own show. Like the George Lopez show.
Yeah,
or something.
He does like an Arsenio Hall type show.
And he
does like a sitcom.
Okay.
He will be doing the Speedy Gonzalez movie.
Oh my goodness, really?
Yes.
Well, you know, it's probably good that they get somebody of a Latino origin heritage to, yes, to do something like that in, yes, order to make sure it's properly done.
No, I think you're right. I think what I want to know is, I'm excited because I'm a big Speedy fan,
yeah,
as you know, and I just want to know who they're going to pick for Slowpoke Rodriguez.
I knew you were going to say that.
Come on. The best line of all time. Remember this one? Remember this one when all the mice are sitting around and they're going, Speedy goes, hey, muchachos, goes, my cousin Slowpoke Rodriguez is coming to town. And then one of the other mice goes, hey, Speedy, you better warn him of the pussycat. And Speedy goes, oh, that's okay, Slowpoke. He pack a gun.
That's right. That's right.
I love that one.
Well, and hold on. Didn't they also say, you know, hey, Slowpoke, Speedy Gonzalez likes your sister. And they says, everybody likes your sister. Right? Yeah, because I guess he's a good-looking, good-looking mouse. Good-looking,
okay,
mouse. All right.
Listen, so that's exciting news.
Yes.
And still, Chris, still, because we're doing so well with it, staying with movies.
Yeah.
The Green Lantern movie that's set for release June 17th, 2011, will officially be a 3D movie.
Oh, no kidding. Eh? Yeah. One that, of course, stars Ryan Reynolds,
yes,
and who was, he was one of the like presenters at the Oscars a couple nights ago.
Yeah, I think he was one of the Oscars, too.
Oscars. Sorry, I didn't say it right, okay?
Oh.
Leave me alone. I'm still suffering from jet lag.
Jet lag.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
All right. Now, that, of course, is on the heels of Clash of the Titans,
yes,
being,
yes,
a 3D movie.
And that's coming out soon, too.
Yeah, it's this year, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And I saw an ad for that the other night, and looks pretty good. However, I got to say, I don't know the name of the actor, but the guy that's in the Clash of the Titans movie, getting a little tired of him. You know, I saw him in the Terminator movie, and I saw him in the Avatar movie. Too much exposure too soon. I get a little tired of seeing
this guy.
Oh,
the guy that was the soldier in Avatar?
Yeah, that guy. I don't remember his name.
Oh,
right. Good looking guy, kind of like me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, fair
enough. Right. You get tired of those guys quick.
Yeah, you really do.
Hey, sticking to even more movie news, again,
yes,
it's like an Oscar theme,
yes,
night. Mickey Rourke,
yeah,
who's playing, I think, Whiplash.
He's going to play Whiplash in the new Iron Man
in
movie.
The Iron Man movies,
yeah.
Is going to play Conan's father.
Oh, good call.
In the Conan movie.
Perfect call. I like that.
Do you like it?
Yeah, I like it a lot. I think that's great. You don't like it?
I don't know.
No, come on. You know,
how's he going to live up? Remember Max von Sydow when he played Conan's father?
Yeah,
no,
but
he wasn't Conan's father. No, I was wrong. He was the father of the princess that Conan was.
Yeah, I know. Those guys are all kind of like
old,
getting old
and
classic. But you know what? Mickey Rourke, okay, he was never a Shakespearean actor. However, you know, he's got that look. You can't deny the fact he's got that old Sumerian look to him.
Yeah,
right?
I guess maybe you're,
you know,
right,
he's,
yeah,
all beaten up and bruised,
right,
and,
yeah,
like, you know, he's
sell it, Chris, sell it.
Yeah, he's I think he's gonna be great. If you've seen the trailers for Whiplash, or well, I should say from Iron Man 2, where you see Whiplash, he looks like he's this old Sumerian kind of guy, and I think he's gonna be okay.
Okay, well, I sure hope so, because I am a Conan fan. And
I know.
That Conan movie.
Now, let me ask you something. Now, were you also a Red Sonja fan at all? Did you ever read
any
of that stuff?
I was a Brigitte Nielsen fan.
Oh, well, who wasn't?
For different reasons.
Yeah, well,
right.
yeah.
But Red Sonja fan, not so much. It was a guy fantasy. Conan was a guy fantasy. Not that there's anything wrong with having guy fantasies, is my point. But my point is, I don't know my point now. My point is on my head.
You know, anyway.
No. My point is, Conan was somebody that you wanted
you
to
emulated.
Be.
You emulated.
Yeah, you wanted to be.
Well, for sure.
Free and
well,
young and strong.
And, you know, I remember you and I were talking about when, you know, you'd go to work out and you'd want to be like Arnold, right?
Yeah,
like
exactly.
You'd lift the weights like Arnold would. You'd,
exactly.
Yeah.
Not like Lou.
No.
Like Arnold.
Because you want to be the winner, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. All right. Let's leave Conan alone.
All right.
Because we weren't really getting anywhere with them. All right, and lastly, there's a great clip. You got to watch this clip, Chris, on sticking with movies again. It's on comicbookdaily.com.
Oh, yeah.
There's a great clip on Stan Lee needs an Oscar. So it's a clip, a video of Stan Lee in his office,
yeah,
telling the Oscar nominating committee why he deserves an Oscar as a supporting character in movies. It's great. So
is it actually him?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It's him, yeah. Goes, oh my God. I need an Oscar.
Well, you know what?
Now, who, that wasn't really Stan Lee. That was more like...
This is Stan Lee.
Ernest Borgnine.
I need an Oscar.
Yeah. And then it would show him clips of, you know, him in the cameos in Spider-Man and Hulk and everything like
okay,
that.
Okay, you know what?
It's very funny. You should check it out.
I will agree that he should probably deserve some sort of recognition for helping create half of the Marvel Universe. But, you know, I don't know if an Oscar really is what he should be getting.
Now, did Stan Lee create half the Marvel Universe? Or
well,
did
I said helped create, oh, right? Okay. Along with the guys like Steve Ditko and Jack Kirby and John Buscema and all those guys, right,
right,
back in the days.
So right.
Bill Everett and, you know,
all right.
Wally Wood. Nope. I could keep going here, but I won't. I don't want to bore.
Please don't.
I could keep on boring our audience with more names dropping.
No, thanks. You know what? I'll do that next. Chris, we're going to jump over to some comic news.
Oh, get out of town.
Yeah.
All right.
And over at the DC,
yep.
They've just announced that J. Michael Straczynski
yes.
is going to write two of the big flagship titles for DC.
For DC.
Namely, Superman.
Well, really?
And Wonder Woman.
He's going to write Wonder Woman? Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
This summer.
All right. Well, you know, all the power to him. Because you know what? Wonder Woman is one of those titles that has never, you know, it always struggles to find an audience because quite often they go back to the Greek mythology and sometimes it just doesn't work very well. Sometimes it does.
Yeah.
But it's a good selling story.
Yeah.
But, you know, and they don't really quite hit it on the money.
Well, the thing I remember about Wonder Woman mostly is, historically speaking, I don't remember it at the time, I was too young, but Wonder Woman tried in the 60s to try to kind of put a new face on female comics and
right.
try to be progressive, you know,
yep.
the whole women's lib thing. And I think they actually tried to focus the comic to girls.
Yeah, absolutely they did, for sure. Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
And then I think that flopped.
Yeah.
Because in the mid-60s, or sorry, late 60s,
yeah.
60s, they tried to do this. And you can see it on some of the old covers where her kind of, you know, an empowerment suit.
Oh, totally, yeah.
She lost that kind of traditional thing.
She lost the whole Wonder Woman outfit. She
right.
was wearing the white kind of jumpsuit kind of thing.
I would say 2-3 years later after that, Wonder Woman had a string of about 10 out of 18 covers where she was in her little bikini,
yeah.
tied up, yeah. bondage, prone,
yeah.
all that kind of
yeah.
stuff. And it's almost like DC said, you know what, it's not working.
Yeah.
Let's sell Wonder Woman to little teenage boys.
Really?
And, like,
for sure.
You know,
yeah.
like her and a thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know what J. Michael's going to do with Wonder Woman because it says it's going to be a new direction. For Wonder Woman and for Superman. That's always dangerous when these new creators come in and they go, I'm going to rock the world.
Yeah,
and
I know.
Change
you know what?
Up.
Everybody always says they're going to do something different and they're going to change the way people look at these characters, and nothing ever changes. I mean, not that I don't get me wrong, I don't mind it because I love these characters, but people always say they're going to just do something different, and I have yet to see anybody really fulfill those promises.
Right, you're right.
Right?
You're right.
And understandably so, because DC probably doesn't want them to do that.
I think, and going back, I mean, the hindsight's 20/20, but the guy that really did it was a guy like Frank Miller, who did it with Batman.
Yeah.
But he didn't change anything. He went back and he told that story, but he told it better.
That's right. That's
you
right.
know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, you
yep.
go out and buy or rent or whatever at the library, Batman Year One.
Yeah.
And that's basically Batman's origin told brilliantly.
Yes, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So Frank Miller revolutionized Batman just by retelling the same story.
Well, that's right. And not
he
only...
He change anything.
He did it with Year One, and he did it with Dark Knight Returns.
Dark Knight Returns,
He added elements to the character that were already there, and he just, you know...
Explored them where they needed
and
exploring.
To
right.
And really, that's what needs to be done with Wonder Woman and with Superman, which I'm sure people have already tried, but I don't know if they've quite hit the money on the head yet.
Right. Okay. Now... On that same vein, Chris, while you were gone, there was some good big news out of DC that they had changed. They had given Jim Lee, Geoff Johns, they had given them huge management positions. Like Jim Lee, if I can get this right here, where is it here? Hold on, I got it.
Give him time, folks. He's just leafing through his papers here.
Can you sing a song? Can you sing him a song?
Sing out loud. Sing out strong.
Anyway.
Sing.
Oh, no, not the Olympic song. No. Paul Levitz is no longer
okay, you're right.
going to run it. So Jim Lee is currently editorial director.
Really?
No, he was
editorial
director. Him and Dan Didio will be co-publishers of DC Comics now.
Oh, okay. Okay? Well, Dan Didio, he was like the editor-in-chief.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Now, Jim Lee and Dan Didio share that co-publisher, while Jeff Johns has been named chief creative officer of DC Entertainment.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, here's my opinion of this. And this is my opinion's coming on the heels of the J. Michael Straczynski announcement and
right.
stuff like that. These guys are great guys.
Yes.
You know, and I'm sure they're nice guys too. But these guys, I think, are needed creating.
Yes. Well, okay, well, here's the thing. I agree.
Uh-huh.
And however, I'm going to disagree to a point. I agree that these guys, I would think, were probably a little bit too young for that position.
Uh-huh.
However, many years ago, when Joe Quesada was made editor-in-chief of Marvel Comics, people thought that he wouldn't do a good job because he was a creator, he was, you know, down and dirty, he was the artist, right?
Yeah.
And really, he helped to re-revolutionize Marvel because he realized that, you know, Marvel really, the stories that they had that were coming out at the time weren't that good, and he wanted to bring back good stories and good, solid stories.
Okay, I got you, and I agree with you on one point. But let's analyze Marvel at that time. Marvel had squat. Marvel was crap, right? And so they took a guy that really wasn't adding anything to Marvel at the time as a creator, really, really, like in a large scale.
Right.
But you're taking Jeff Johns now,
yeah.
who's basically single-handedly saved the Superman franchise.
And Green Lantern.
Yeah. And, you know, co-created one of the biggest miniseries they've ever had.
Sure.
And then you take Jim Lee, you know, as well.
Yep.
These guys are bearing fruit on the front line.
Well, yeah, you're right.
And it's dangerous to now, give a guy like Jeff Johns, who single-handedly guided two of the big characters to success.
Yeah. Yeah.
And take that away and then have him in a management position.
But
maybe he won't take him away.
I would imagine that what they're trying to do now is make these guys more editors and not necessarily creators, but they want to steer them in the right direction. Years ago, when Julius Schwartz, who was like the Stan Lee of DC Comics, right? A lot of guys don't know who Julius Schwartz is.
Who was she?
Julius Schwartz was this kind of like, you know, guy that created, I don't really want to say created, but he really helped to steer the way DC went in the 60s.
Right.
So, you know, he was the guy that people would go to with ideas, and he would either shoot them down or say, yeah, this is what
so
you want to do.
So he was the guy that said, more gorillas on the cover.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he helped recreate DC Comics and steer that boat in the right direction.
Right.
Now, what I'm saying is maybe that's what they want. That's what DC needs right now, is they need somebody who's going to steer that boat in the right direction. And maybe those guys are Jim Lee and Jeff Johns.
Because
there are a lot of guys who can go out there and write solid stories or draw solid characters,
uh-huh.
but maybe not necessarily have the right vision to promote those characters in the right way.
Right.
And maybe that's what these guys
so
are
maybe,
gonna do.
So maybe DC, maybe I'm saying, you know, they've seen, you know, the gift of vision that Johns has in terms of expanding the universes of Superman and Green Lantern.
Yeah.
And they say, hey, work that vision and that magic company-wide.
For the whole thing. Right,
yeah,
exactly.
That's a good point.
You know, maybe
that's
for the whole point. Thing. Well, you know, time will tell, right?
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, this has happened before where guys like Mark Waid has been in the past who has, you know, done wonders for the DC universe or for the Marvel universe. And, you know, things come and go. And I think this is probably something that's going to, time will tell.
Right.
Well,
okay, Chris.
You know what? On that note, geez, you know what? It's funny. I come back from the Olympics and we don't even have a feature yet. Somehow we managed to talk about nothing but comic books for half an hour, 29 minutes plus seconds counting. Of comic talk.
Right.
Once again, you know, if you do enjoy our show, please let us know. Please email us at mailbox@bigbcomics.com or chris.owen@mohawkcollege.ca. We enjoy your comments. We love reading them. And once in a while, we'll even talk about them on the air. But please go out and support your local comic book stores. And have a great day.
And see everyone next week.
Thank you. Bye-bye.